The Local Administration and Veteran Affairs Subcommittee will come to order. Members, please remember to speak into your microphones. Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair Toledo.
Here.
Vice Chair Harding. Ranking Member Goff Marcil.
Here.
Barnaby, excused. Bartleman.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
Fetterhoff.
Here.
Gil Lombardo.
Here.
Joseph. Killebrew. Milo.
Here.
Overdorff.
Yes, ma'am.
Persis Maluka, excused. Robinson.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Woodson.
Here.
A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, by your presence, we have a quorum. Please make sure your cell phones and other communication devices are turned off and placed in silent mode. If you have a laptop, please make sure the sound is turned off. I also want to remind members to speak into your microphone when voting to ensure our administrative assistant hears your vote. For those members of the public who wish to speak on a particular bill, if you have not already done so, please make sure to fill out an appearance form and give it to a staff member. Members, today we have 11 bills, and I first want to start off with wishing Representative Williamson a very happy birthday. Happy birthday, Chair Bear, if I'm allowed to say that. Or that's between us and my daughter. But and as your president, I'm going to have you lead us off. So House Bill 1035 by Representative Williamson relating to the incorporation of municipalities. Representative Williamson, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess it's good to be lucky and get to present a bill on my birthday where I can go first and don't have to sit there for an hour. Thank you. So HB 1035 is incorporation of municipalities. And what this does is this makes some changes when somebody wants to create a new city. What we're doing, we're changing the date for the feasibility study to be due. Right now it says the first Monday after September 1st, which usually falls on Labor Day. So state offices, federal offices are closed. So this puts a line in the sand and just says August 31st to make sure that it is a date where the state offices will be open. Also, it adds a non-binding referendum, which must be passed by 60% approval before the bill may be filed to incorporate, and that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Daly, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, and I appreciate the time that you took to speak with me earlier, but I had a couple quick questions on your bill. So the language is a little unclear, and I just wanted to kind of air out. So when it comes to the 60%, is it 60% of qualified electors, or is it 65% of those who actually vote in the election?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, and it's a great question. It'll be 60% of the people that vote in that election on either a primary or a general election. And I will get with staff to clarify, but that is the intent of the bill, to be 60% of the people who vote in that election, not 60% of the registered voters in that area.
Thanks, sir.
You're recognized for follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one quick follow-up. And thank you, Representative, for that answer and that clarification. Second question, if the referendum fails to reach the 60%, would your bill prevent them from trying that again at some point?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the question. No, it would not. They would be able to come do this process again in the future.
Thanks, sir.
Any additional questions? Vice Chair Goff Marcil, you're recognized.
Thank you for the...
Ranking. Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. My question is and thank you, Rep. Daly, for clearing that up, because those were two of my concerns, but you cleared that up. Where I live, we have the city, and then we have unincorporated city with addresses. So I'm going to say Maitland, that's where I live. And we have unincorporated Seminole County, Maitland, and unincorporated Orange County, Maitland. So if unincorporated Seminole County, Maitland decided they want to be their own corporation, would they be the ones that were voting, just the ones in that area?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Ranking Member. That's a great question as well. The people that will vote on this will be the people that would be affected by the city boundaries. So anybody that lives within the boundaries that city is trying to be created, they will be the people that vote on that non-binding referendum. So it's important to me to make sure, a lot of times you have groups of 20 or 30, I mean, there's been groups of 3 or 5 people that want to incorporate areas, but whenever you have, 50 people that are wanting to impose their will and create a new city of 50,000 people, I wanted to make sure that every voice within that area that may have their taxes raised, that may have fees raised, they also may get new services and better services as well, but there's also going to be a tax increase as well. I think their voice should be heard, so it only will be the people who would be in that new city that's created that would vote.
Any additional questions? Representative Salzman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for bringing this great bill forward. Can you tell me how pickles celebrate their birthday?
They don't make it a big deal.
they relish them, but I'll take that answer. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for comedic relief. Any additional questions? Representative Williamson, I believe you have a strike all amendment.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I have an amendment barcoded 178211, and what this amendment does is it puts acceptable forms of documentation for somebody for the description, the accuracy of the description of the area that they're wanting to incorporate to make sure that these properties exist, to make sure a lot of times when they do these boundaries, it's not going to be a perfect circle. We have different property lines, so we want to make sure that we have an accurate description of every single property that will go into this new city, and also make sure that it's not an area like the ranking member has where they're trying to incorporate an area that's already incorporated.
Members, are there any questions on the strike all amendment? Seeing none, Vice Chair Harding, I believe there's an amendment to the strike all amendment. You are recognized to explain the amendment to the amendment number 592657.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is just a technical amendment that inserts an effective date of July 1st, 2022, and that is the amendment.
Members, are there questions to the amendment? Seeing none, we have not received any public comments on this amendment. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, Vice Chair Harding, you are recognized to close on the amendment to the amendment.
I'll waive close.
Members, without objection, show the amendment to the strike all amendment is adopted. Members, we are now back on the strike all amendment as amended. There's no public comments. Is there anyone wishing to speak? Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the amendment, the strike all amendment as amended? Representative Williamson, you are recognized to close on the strike all amendment.
Waive close, Madam Chair.
Members, without objection, show the strike all amendment is adopted. Members, we are now back on the bill as amended. No public comment. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill as amended? Representative Williamson, you are recognized to close the bill.
Waive close, Madam Chair.
Having waived close, Rosa, please call the roll on the bill as amended.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Was that Cheney?
No. Yes.
Okay, Bartleman was yes, too. Okay. And Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Federhoff?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph? Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mulica? Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Happy birthday. Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yeah. 15 yeas, zero nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 1035 as amended, reported favorably. Congratulations and happy birthday.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the birthday wishes as well.
Next, we will take up House Bill 1107 by Representative McLean relating to the City of Inverness. Representative McLean, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair Toledo, members of the committee. House Bill 1107 would create a downtown Inverness Entertainment District. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have one public comment from Andrew Cole of the City of Inverness, waving in support of the bill. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on the bill? Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative McLean, you are recognized to close.
I'll waive close.
Representative McLean, having closed, Rosa, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Federhoff?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding.
Yes.
Joseph. Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Mello.
Yes.
Overdorff.
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Muilika. Robinson.
Yes.
Salzman.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Yes. 15 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 1107 reported favorably. Congratulations. Next, we will hear PCS for House Bill 509 by Representative Yarbrough. I apologize. Representative McLean, can you come back? I didn't realize you had a second bill. You're next, though. Now we'll hear PCS for House Bill 851 by Representative McLean relating to school concurrency.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, for that. And I apologize to my good friend, Representative Yarbrough, for having to misplace him. But members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to present PCS for House Bill 851. Members currently under the Community Planning Act, local governments have the responsibility and the authority to create comprehensive plans. Part of the comprehensive plan would be to ensure that proper facilities are available, which would include schools. And they normally accomplish this through interlocal agreements with the school board. Also, as part of that, developers can, under current law, the developers can bypass the requirements of school concurrence if they execute a legally binding commitment to provide proportionate share mitigation, which will be directed to the school board to create capacity. The PCS requires developers to tender. The current language is execute. This would change that language to tender rather than execute a written legally binding commitment to provide proportionate share mitigation. The PCS further requires the local government to issue a final decision on the developer's tendered commitment within 60 days. If the local government fails to issue a final decision within 60 days, the tendered commitment will be deemed approved. Lastly, the PCS requires the school board to set aside and not spend any proportionate share mitigation if there is no school capacity approved or identified in their current five-year plan. That is the PCS, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on this PCS? Ranking Member Goff-Marcel, you recognize.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. And I apologize for not getting with you before. This one kind of was under my radar. What is the current situation as far as concurrency? So I guess what I'm asking is why did you bring this bill?
You're recognized.
Okay, thank you. There are a few, you know, so concurrency is between two partners, right? So you have your school board and you have your county commission, and currently we have some county commissions and school boards who aren't actually providing prop share. Under current legislation, this will clarify that and make them move forward. Part of the challenge is too is some applications are being deemed incomplete for information that's not being provided, and therefore instead of it either being denied or approved, it's just considered incomplete. So this would require the local governing body to make a decision, which then allows for some legal action if needed by the developer.
Follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. And where would this money sit while this is happening, while the planning's happening?
You're recognized.
Thank you. It would, the school board, I'm assuming the school board has a line item where they would put that in their budget, but it would sit with the school, it would go to the school board, to the district.
You're recognized for an additional follow up.
Thank you, Chair. So I guess my concern would be, If there was a backlog of developments, is this going to help that not happen, or could that happen where several developers would have that money set aside and there's no plan and we're not actually meeting the concurrency?
You recognize?
Sure, thank you. Actually, what this would do would be to help that develop to be the development to be able to move forward without actually having to construct the school, because right now it's on a district. This would be in a particular district, and So if it's not in the five, so it's possible that would be in the five-year plan. If it were, then you would identify a site, and that money would go to that particular school. If it's not, then it's going to set in the district-wide, in the district's financials until such time. So what we are trying to do is, obviously, we have a huge backlog of non-inventory of homes, apartments, whatever it might be. This would help the developers to be able to, this would actually be really, this would be true pay as you go. So in other words, they would be able to pay into the fund whatever, for example, if you build a 500 unit, you know, apartment or housing complex, whatever it might be, you could have, you know, 100 or two to a school. Each one of those seats is worth X amount of money. That's all spelled out. That would be all spelled out by the district. The developer would pay into the fund, and then he could go ahead and build his project. So it would increase the time that they would be able to move forward with their project. Also, but part of it is if they tender an agreement, under current law, it satisfies concurrency. That's how it's written. What's happening is some local governments are just then setting on and saying, we need a site-specific place where this school is going. That's not part of current law. They don't have to do that. All they have to say is they can pay in, they can make a proportionate share payment to the school board.
Representative Woodson, you recognize?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, Rep. McGill, for asking some of the questions that I was going to ask. But Chair McLean, I have one last question for you. The developers would be contributing to this fund. This money would be put aside. There's not a determined time as to when the money should be spent. But in the meantime, the money could be accruing a lot of interest. Is there any reason why you did not specify what the interest should be used into, or would the interest be accumulating into the fund?
You're recognized.
Madam Chair, I'm gonna say that if a school board has those kinds of money, it would be setting in some interest-bearing fund. That money continues to grow at whatever interest rate they're able to capture through their financial advisors.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any additional questions? We've received some public comments. Carrie Hebrank with the Florida Home Builders Association waves in support. We have Edward Briggs with Homes by West Bay waving in support. Anna Grace Lewis with the Florida Chamber of Commerce, waving in support. See no additional comments. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the PCS? See none. Representative McLean, you are recognized to close on the PCS.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, again, as I said a few minutes ago, we are certainly in a huge deficit as it relates to housing of all sizes. We have developers that are trying to move forward. We have some governments that aren't cooperating with one another, and all we're trying to do is get the process moving forward, whether it be approval or denial of an application or whatever it might be, but we're trying to get that moving forward so these folks can provide housing for the 1,000 people a day that are moving to Florida because it's the greatest place to live in the world.
Thank you, and I agree. Representative McLean, having closed, Rosa, please call the roll on the PCS.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Federhoff?
Yes.
Gilombardo?
Yes.
Golf Marcel?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph? Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdore?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Miluka? Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yes, 0 nays.
Thank you. By your vote, please show PCS for House Bill 851 reported favorably.
Thank you.
Congratulations, you're done.
Thank you.
Now we will take up PCS for House Bill 509 by Representative Yarbrough relating to sales tax on mobile homes. Representative Yarbrough, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Vice Chair, Ranking Member, Committee Members. Good to see you this afternoon. Thank you very much for having this on your agenda, Madam Chair. House Bill 509 relates to sales taxes on mobile homes. The bill before you would reduce the amount of sales tax paid on the purchase of a new manufactured home from 6% to 3%, ensuring that all Floridians at all income levels have home ownership opportunities. Currently, the purchaser of a new manufactured home pays sales tax on 100% of the purchase price, which also includes the cost of building materials, labor, freight, delivery, installation, all of that. But in contrast, the purchase price of a new site-built home, the sales tax that's included on that only encompasses material costs. So it's, you know, not quite equitable as we have it right now. So reducing the amount of sales tax from 6% to 3% would help us strike an equitable balance by bringing this in line with taxes paid by purchasers of other forms of housing. And again, that would have a positive impact on home ownership, especially for lower-income Floridians. And that's the bill for your consideration.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions? Representative Killebrew, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. This is on new sales only. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
Through the chair to Rep. Killebrew, yes, sir. Only new sales. That's right.
Any additional questions? We receive, oh, I'm sorry. Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. How will you make up the revenue that's lost from the sales tax?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Through the chair to the ranking member. So it admittedly would be an impact on state revenues that's pointed out in the bill analysis. But we're trying to, again, strike a balance between how we can help with our goal of affordable housing and also, you know, meet the needs that we have out there. And again, this is trying to make it equitable and pretty much a level playing field with the same type of taxing and cost you would pay for a site-built home or another form of housing. And with the various communities out there that we believe that would be helped, which is all across Florida, there would be that budgetary impact, ranking member, but we believe it still strikes a balance.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional questions? See none. We do have a couple public comments. Jim Ayote with the Florida Manufacturing Housing Association. You had both, so I was wondering. Lori Killinger with the Florida Manufacturing Housing Association also waves in support. See no additional public comments. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I've been talking with the bill sponsor, and I've been kind of on the fence with this bill just because of being here in Florida with all the hurricanes, and I don't really want to encourage more of homes that could be blown away, but at the same time, we have it would make it more affordable for the people that need it. So I'm going to be up on it today, unless I find out any more information for later, but for today, I'll be up. Thanks.
Any additional debate? Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
Great bill. Thanks for bringing it forward. Definitely be up today. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional debate? Representative Bartleman, you're recognized.
Yes, I just want to thank you for bringing this bill. I think it strikes the perfect balance for people. For a lot of people, they don't want the brick-and-mortar home, or the brick-and-mortar home isn't attainable. Being able to call something home, not have to pay rent, even if it's a manufactured home, it means the world to people, and this puts it in there. It helps them with pricing. I mean, people can't afford to live right now in the state of Florida, so any balance we can strike to help people get a roof over their head is worth doing. So thank you.
Seeing no additional debate, Representative Yarbrough, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. And I appreciate the comments by the members of the committee, too. And Ranking Member, I know we dialogued before we came into committee today. And let me assure you and the committee, what we're doing here does not do anything to change the building code or standards that we have out there for what individuals and businesses have to follow with regard to housing or securing them to property and things of that nature. But your point is loud and clear, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about it. Madam Chair, I also wanted to thank your good staff, Eric Miller and Jonathan Darden, for their help in getting this in the right posture for today, and I appreciate the committee's favorable support. And with that, I close. Thank you very much.
Representative Yarbrough having closed, Rosa, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Federhoff?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Golf Marcel?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph? Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mulica? Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show PCS for House Bill 509 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair and Committee. Have a good day.
Next, we will take up House Bill 571 by Representative Mooney relating to relating powers of land authorities. Representative Mooney, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Thank you. Let's see here. This bill is entitled An Act Relating to the Powers of Land Authorities, amending Section 380.0666 Florida Statute, authorizing land authorities to assist the counties in which they are located with certain activities, addressing flooding, sea level rise, providing for an effective date, and Monroe County being one of only land authorities in the state that is governed by general law. This is why it's a general bill and not a local bill.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the bill? Okay. Representative Overdorf, you are recognized.
Do you know of any other counties that do have a land authority, or is it only Monroe?
There may be land authorities in areas of state critical concern, which is in the panhandle, but there's only four of those in the state. But this is actually governed by state statute in Monroe County. I suspect because of the population base versus more of the environmental conservation areas.
See no additional questions. We have one public comment from Ryan Matthews with Monroe County waving in support. No additional public comments. We're now in debate. Members, is there any debate on the bill? See, Representative Woodson, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Rep. Mooney, for bringing this bill forward. One of the things that really interests me in this bill was the fact that it will be providing funding for our affordable housing projects. And I know we are in a crisis when it comes to affordable housing. Housing is no longer affordable, especially to our younger generation. So I appreciate you bringing it forward, even though it's from Monroe County. You know, I'm in Dayton, Broward, but thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Members, thank you. Any additional debate? Representative, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Having wave closed, Rosa, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Federhoff?
Yes.
DeLombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph? Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdor?
Yes, ma'am.
Persis Malika? Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 571 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Moving on, we have House Bill 927 by Representative Haig relating to the Downtown Crystal River Entertainment District, Citrus County. Representative Haig, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee members, House Bill 927 is a local bill, Downtown Crystal River Entertainment District creating one, and that's the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have one public comment by Ken Frank with the City of Crystal River, who is waving in support of the bill. Seeing no other public comments, members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Haig, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close.
Representative Haig, having wave closed. Rosa, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Federhoff?
Yes.
DeLombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph? Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdor?
Yes, ma'am.
Persis Malika? Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson? Yes. 15 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 927 reported favorably. Congratulations. And next, we will take up House Bill 1189 by Representative Andrade and Representative Salzman relating to the Firefighters Relief and Pension Fund of the City of Pensacola. Representative Andrade, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. House Bill 1189 is a local bill that ratifies a unanimously approved firefighters provision for the Pensacola City Firefighters Department with the City of Pensacola. It does two main things. It removes one definition, essentially, or discrepancy between years of service, 10 years of service or more, and 10 years of service or less for firefighters for their compensation calculation, and also removes the requirement that a spouse of a deceased firefighter remain unmarried to receive pension benefits.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none. We have one public comment by Wayne Bernie Bernoska with the Florida Professional Firefighters, who is waving in support. Thank you. Seeing no other public comments, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative Woodson, you are recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Rep. Andrade, for bringing this bill forward. One thing that we know we need to do more is to support our men and women, which are, you know, our police officers, our veterans, our firefighters, who put their life on the line for us day in, day out. So anytime we have to do something positive for them, something to work for them and their families, I'm up and I would support you on the bill. Thank you so much.
Any additional? Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
Representative Andrade, thank you for staying after this bill. I know you've been working it for quite some time, and I know that the folks back home really appreciate you continuing to put it up and getting it on the agenda, so congratulations.
Thank you. Any additional debate? Seeing none, Representative Andrade, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close, Chair.
Having waved close, Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Federhoff?
Yes.
Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcille?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph? Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Malika? Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 1189 reported favorably.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
And next we will have House Bill 619 by our patient, Representative Rodriguez. Thank you. For the United States Produced Iron and Steel and Public Works Project. Representative Rodriguez, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I guess we saved the best for last, right? I am the last. Simply stated, this is what I call the Buy American bill, and it nearly just mirrors federal law in asking that all taxpayer projects, public works projects, use American made and manufactured iron and steel. And Madam Chair, that is basically the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Mello, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. Unfortunately, you and I didn't get a chance to speak prior to you presenting the bill. Has there been any discussion about possibly using the language preference versus requirement?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, yes, I mean, it has been a discussion, but I do want to be clear. My intent with the bill is that we strongly encourage everybody to, you know, in public works projects in the state of Florida to use American-made companies. We have added some guardrails in the bill, in the language, where supply is not available, where it'll potentially increase the cost of the project significantly to go outside the scope of the language in this bill. But to be clear, my intent is that we use American-made companies.
Follow-up. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're recognized, sorry.
And thank you, Representative, because that, having a construction background, those were my primary concerns. We are already seeing supply chain issues and also, you know, protectionism and the free market. So those were my concerns, but you're saying that they have been addressed.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Representative, they are being addressed in this bill, and I encourage you to further read through it, and if you'd like to sit down, we can sit down and discuss it.
Any additional questions?
No, thank you.
Representative Joseph, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Hey.
My only question for you is, what are the ramifications if they don't use American steel?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the same same results of any law that is broken, right? It'll be in there that they have to use it unless one of the guardrails that we've put in cannot be met. Again, as our colleague stated, if there's a lack in supply, then they can go outside the box. But other than any other guardrails in the statute, they have to abide by it.
Follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you. So different laws have different ramifications. Sometimes there's a civil fine, sometimes there are criminal ramifications. I guess that's what I'm looking for. What's the punishment if they don't follow this?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I could look into further what it'll be, but in my opinion, they just won't be considered for the project.
Is there any additional questions? Seeing none, we received a lot of public comment, starting with Daniel Kurezzi, who is waving in support. Next, we have Rich Templin with the Florida AFL-CIO, who is a proponent, waving in support. Oh, wishing to speak.
I very much appreciate the indulgence, Madam Chair. I don't get to do this very often, come to the podium and support a bill, so this is kind of really fun for me. So thank you. I know that you're going to hear concerns about cost, about the, you know, driving up costs on these public works projects. The steel industry and the supply industry around it is a foundational industry. We have seen the data about how as we beef up domestic steel production and the usage of that product, there's a positive economic ripple that radiates out from that. And this is a great idea, a great way to beef up that industry at a time where we have new steel production techniques, we have new access to raw materials, and, you know, we can really kind of bring back what was one of the industries that made this country great. And I will say that those of us at the Florida AFL-CIO, we have a lot of machinists and steelworkers in our movement, and we'd love to get them back to work here in the USA. So we encourage everyone to support this. And again, when you think about that there may be some increased costs, remember, these are investments. Public works projects should never be viewed just about the project itself. It should be viewed about how we can use the investment in that infrastructure to better the economy throughout the state, the nation, and beyond. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Templin. Next, we have Philip Sutterman with the Americans for Prosperity wishing to speak. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. I am Philip Sutterman, Policy Director with Americans for Prosperity, Florida. I'd like to first start off by saying thank you so much to the representative. We've had an opportunity to come down and really have extended open dialogue about this bill and really kind of bear out our concerns with him as well as what he is intending to do. And so we really want to be able to thank that for him. Unfortunately, however, as this bill stands, we still have many grave concerns. Government holds a responsibility as a steward for taxpayer dollars. With the power of taxation should come an understanding that the money garnered from hardworking taxpayers is put to use in a way that will benefit everyone, in a manner that provides quality while also assuring the least possible expense. Quite simply, government spending comes at a cost to the people. For every dollar spent, that is a dollar that is taxed away from the people. To needlessly increase government spending is to increase Floridians' cost. The mandates provided in this bill would do precisely that, driving up cost. So let's talk about costs. Costs will rise. In fact, there's even a provision in the bill noting that there is a 20% limit to the costs, meaning that there is an anticipation that this bill could drive up overall project costs as much as 19.99 repeating percent and still be acceptable to the taxpayer's expense. So for example, if there's a $100,000 public works projects and this bill would allow for up to $19,999, again, all at the taxpayer's expense. This comes at a time when inflation is at its highest in 40 years. In fact, a recent report said that in December, prices are up 7% from a year before. 7%. We've also heard about how this bill could potentially solve trade with bad actors. But according to the U.S. Department of Commerce, the top five importers of iron and steel are Canada, Brazil, Mexico, South Korea, and Japan. And in fact, Canada, who is the top importer, is a country that this state so explicitly trusts that just a few short years ago, we enacted legislation to import medicine, literally what saves the lives of our Floridians. We can trust Canada to import our medicine and keep our citizens safe. We should be able to trust them with other products as well. And finally, this bill isn't or won't solve safety. Again, because of the provisions to allow for steel if standards aren't acceptable. It's baked into the product. So what this bill would potentially allow for is to spend more money for potentially worse quality products. Every dollar the government spends comes from the pocket of a taxpayer. This isn't about one person's personal ideas of how to spend money. This is about mandating for all Floridians. Again, as it currently stands, we view this bill as anti-free trade, anti-fiscally conservative. Government has an obligation to all of us and should be accountable for how it spends dollars. Members of the committee, as this bill currently stands, I respectfully ask that you oppose this bill, at least until we are able to put it into a better position that serves the interests of Americans, Floridians, taxpayers, for all of us. Thank you so much, and thank you for your time, Chair.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Oberdorf for a question.
Thank you so much for your comments today. I hear what you're saying, but if we're taking the American tax dollars and reinvesting in American companies rather than taking those dollars and investing them in foreign, isn't that a better use of the American tax dollars to be used over and over and over again within our economy than to invest them somewhere else?
You're recognized.
Representative Oberdorf, I think, again, we all share the interest that we want to make sure that American industries are doing well and that Floridians in particular, which is what this body, this legislative body is tasked with, to really go out and make sure that they're doing the best for their for Floridians. However, that's not what this bill is about. This isn't about the steel industry. This isn't about making sure that the steel industry in this state or in this country is in a better spot. If we wanted to do that, if we wanted to create a bill working on regulations, working away, stripping away red tape, working on figuring out ways to make that industry stronger, I would welcome that conversation. As you know, our organization is longstanding in terms of trying to strip away onerous government problems on tops of industries. But that's not what this bill is about. This bill is about mandating steel production regardless of possible cost and regardless of possible safety, not about propping up the industry.
Thank you. Next, we will have Evelyn Nazario, who is waving in support. Next, we have Charles Colon, who is also waving in support. Christy St. Louis is also waving in support. Next, we have Adi Basuduta, who is wishing to speak. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I hope I didn't mispronounce your name.
Oh, you did totally fine. Just Addie, though. Right. Hello, members. Hello, Madam Chair. I will be honest. I don't know much about steel. I am a college student. I haven't taken any steel classes. But what did catch my eye about this bill was the duty to buy American, like Representative Rodriguez said. Now, I understand that, doing right by Americans. And I think that we should try, with the guardrails in place, to support our steel industry, to support American jobs. And I looked it up last night, since I had the time, and I wasn't invited to Taco Tuesdays because of what happened last week. I looked it up, and apparently, the U.S. is the fourth largest producer of steel globally, and out of most of the countries we import steel from, our industry is much more efficient, and, of course, our labor laws are better than China. Now, I would also argue that we should try to encourage our steel industry to do better, since reading through the legislation, I couldn't help but think of ESG, which stands for Environmental Social Governance, something I learned in school. And the idea behind ESG is evaluating companies and inspiring leadership based not only on what companies can return to their shareholders and customers, but also what they can return to the environment, their society, and their government. Now, I understand that adding an amendment, which is can always be dangerous to a bill, and I fully support the bill as it stands right now. But I wanted to voice the opinion that if we could add in an extra clause that asked our local governments to consider the ESG ratings of the companies that they are buying from, then that would be very useful to everybody involved. Now, those ratings are rather easy to find since a lot of companies are jumping on board the ESG train, since ESG is correlated with better returns, more productivity, and things that make sense from a business point of view. And I also know with my very little experience in local government how much we love asking staff to find more information about things and getting reports for us. So I think that just adding that clause would be so beneficial. Now, if you thought I was on my soapbox already, get a load of this. I can't help but think of a passage from the Gospels when looking over the legislation where Jesus relates to us the parable of the banquet. Now, the parable goes, a king sent out notice to all the notable men in his land to come for a banquet. But all these well-to-do men, they found some excuse to not come because they felt like they could afford to. And who ended up going were the beggars, the humble. Many are called, but few answer. Many are called, but few answer. Now we're calling on our local governments to try and do right to buy American. But I also feel like we ourselves are being called by the people who would benefit from a better environment, from a better society, to try and challenge our governments to do even better than what we're already doing. That's what I see in the bill. That's what I hope to see more in a potential amendment or not. Anyway, thank you so much for your time and for letting me ham it up as part of a public comment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much for participating. Next, we have Jim McGill with Trademark Metals. Waving in support. Next, we have Chris Keffer with FBBA Iron, who is waving in support. Next, we have Adam Sonsola with Neen Enterprises, waving in support. And last, we have Adam Parr with Gardeau, also waving in support. Seeing no additional public comments, members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on this bill? Representative Joseph, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for bringing forward this bill. Looks really interesting to me. If you wouldn't mind addressing this in your close, in case you're doing the wave close, because I had some more questions that I just realized. It's my understanding that the League of Cities is neutral on this bill, and that this does not apply to private companies. It only applies to certain governmental entities. So to the extent that you could clarify that for the committee, I would appreciate that in your close. And that's my kind of funky debate. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Gio Lombardo, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Rep, for bringing this. I think it's great that we're doing things to try to get, you know, especially tax dollars to pay for U.S.-made materials. It's an important piece, and I appreciate your time. We had a good conversation, talked about labor issues, talked about some of the national security perspective that I have on this bill. I'm going to be up today and looking forward to working with you to hopefully kind of refine some of those tweaks that we discussed, but I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Any additional debate? Representative Salzman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wasn't going to speak on the bill, but I just was so shocked that there was anybody in opposition to this piece of legislation. I just want to thank you for bringing this bill forward and trying to protect American jobs and American manufacturing and all the great things that we always talk about in the state of Florida. So with that, I'm absolutely in support. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Mello, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you again, Representative. I agree, Representative Salzman, that yes, it should be our personal responsibility to all buy American and support the American industry over the, you know, industry outside of our own country. I agree with that statement. That being said, I do have concerns as a business owner talking about the free market. Protectionism, that does concern me because I think that we don't do that for every industry. So I look forward to us having continued conversations and addressing some of my concerns. I will be up on it today to keep it moving, but I would like to have a conversation with you about my concerns prior to it getting to the floor. Thank you.
Any additional debate? Seeing none, Representative Rodriguez, you are recognized to close on this very American bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, colleagues, members, for indulging me. So I will answer that question in your comments, Rep. Joseph. Yes, this bill is clarified in the bill and intended only for public works projects. So this is not for private industry. We are not trying to regulate private industry as to how they conduct their business. And while AFP came up here and respectfully disagreed with the bill and opposition, I can't disagree more with them on everything that they stated, except for one thing, which is that this is not about the iron and steel companies. And they're right. It's not about the iron and steel companies. It's about our taxpayer dollars. It's about American jobs. And it's about the safety of our people. Because some of the very issues that they brought up, such as the regulations, the safety of the production of this iron that we walk on, we drive on, we live in, can certainly not be regulated overseas. We certainly have no regulation of this or jurisdiction of how it is done overseas. Here in the U.S., at a minimum, we will have regulation of how it is built, that it is built up to code, not to mention the jobs and keeping our taxpayer dollars flowing in our economy, as Rep. Overdose stated. So with that, I ask for your favorable support, and I hope I could count on it now, next committee, and on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rodriguez. Having closed, Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Federhoff?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Gulf Marseille?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Milo?
Yes.
Overdor?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Malika? Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 619 reported favorably. Congratulations. Next, we will take up House Bill 993 by Representative Tuck relating to the Sebring Airport Authority in Highlands County. Representative Tuck, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good afternoon, members. HB 993 provides some needed updates to the charter for the Sebring Airport Authority in Highlands County. Mainly, the bill revises the Airport Authority's required bidding threshold to the statutory Category 2 level and permits the Airport Authority to participate in public-private partnerships. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we did not receive any public comments on this. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Tuck, you are recognized to close.
Wave close.
Representative Tuck, having closed, Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 993.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Federhoff?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcel?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Mellow?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persis Miluka? Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 993 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Chair, thank you, members.
Next, Representative Smith would like to be recognized for a recognition. Representative Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd just like to take this opportunity before our committee that deals with veterans issues to be able to make a couple of recognitions. We have today with us the CEO of Operation New Uniform, Michelle McManaman, and one of her board members, Lisa Gillespie from the Jacksonville area. Operation New Uniform helps veteran or active duty military transition out to become veterans. And we know, as we've talked about in this committee before, we have 37,000 active duty military stationed here in Florida, and also 1.5 million veterans in our state. We're number three right now. We're about to become number two as more people move to Florida. So I'd like to recognize them here in our midst today.
You're recognized and welcome to the Florida House. Thank you. And thank you for all you do for our veterans. Now we will take up PCS for House Bill 401 by Representative Smith relating to the ad valorem tax exemption for nonprofit homes for the aged.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members for hearing this bill. You're going to have a deja vu moment. This is the one-sentence glitch bill we passed last year that makes it just a little bit easier to build affordable housing here in Florida. This is aligns Florida statute with the IRS tax code. When a nonprofit that builds affordable housing for, and actually it's, we know them as the over 55 communities, but in IRS tax codes, they're called homes for the aged. I don't know, I take offense at that, but we'll perhaps work on legislation on that in the future. But when a nonprofit company owns another nonprofit that builds affordable housing, who takes the ad valorem tax exemption? And that's all the bill does. No change, it's just only one person gets it, the higher company or the lower company that builds affordable housing. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have no public comments. Oh, wait, sorry, we do have one public comment. Jeff Sharkey with housing, yes, waving in support. Sorry, I can't read your handwriting. No additional public comments. We are now in debate. Members, is there any debate on this bill? Seeing none, Representative Smith, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close, Chair.
Representative Smith, having waved close, Rosa, please call the roll on your bill.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Betterhall?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcel?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Mellow?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Miluka? Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show PCS for House Bill 401 reported favorably. Congratulations. Next, we will take up House Bill 1105 by Representative Turnow relating to Lake County Water District, Lake County, presented by Vice Chair Harding. Vice Chair Harding, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this is a local bill that was adopted by a 5-0 vote by the Lake County delegation. This bill converts the Lake County Water Authority into a dependent district of the county. It removes a separate layer of government with the ability to be able to tax residents. The district will be governed by a 5-member board appointed by the county commission. The reason for this local bill is that currently Lake County resides in the the St. John's Water Management District, and so there's an extra layer that is currently created by the Lake County Water Authority, and this bill seeks to eliminate that layer. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Members, are there questions on the bill? Yes, I hear it. Ranking Member Goff Marcel, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. I'm wondering what the
the reasoning is to switch from the, I mean, you said a separate layer, but right now the electorate is choosing these people, and under this bill, it'll be chosen by the commissioners. And my office got feedback that they were not wanting that to happen, that this would affect the environment. So I'm concerned about that. Do you have the background for that?
You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, so this board currently, what it would do, it would turn into a subcommittee, essentially, of the county commission, which is elected by the local votes. And, you know, I would say in that case, it strengthens that being part of that arm. What happens now is you've got this additional elected body. So we pay for the elections relating to that. And you've also got the overlap of the St. John's Water Management District. So any duty or obligation that this special district would have would still be covered by the committee that would operate under the county commission's supervision, and the county commission is elected, along with a local delegation that supports this measure.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, we have one public comment by Jane West with 1,000 Friends of Florida, waving in opposition. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Ranking Member Goff Marcel, you recognize?
Thank you, Chair. The background of this body, this governmental body, it was formed in 1953, and their goals were to conserve freshwater resources in Lake County, foster tourism business in the county, provide recreational facilities, improve fish and aquatic wildlife, and protect freshwater resources from damage from stormwater runoff. I find those all to be very, very important issues, and because of that, I can't vote yes on this bill. I think that it's actually another layer to protect the environment, because you've got this authority and the Lake County Water Authority, and then also the Board of Commissioners, and they're forced to work together. And then I also like the idea that the electorate is picking the people on the Lake County Water Authority. So for those reasons, I'm going to have to vote down on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Salzman, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is the most I've spoken in this committee in a year. First of all, if Representative Trunell is watching, we love you and we're praying for you. But thank you, Representative Harding, for bringing forth this good bill. He worked so hard on it. I got a lot of emails, too. I got a lot of feedback. But ultimately, it lies in the hands of our delegation to really make these state-level decisions. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to continue moving this bill forward, even in his absence. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional debate? Seeing none. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Joseph, you're recognized.
Thank you. I guess I'll tee it up the same way. To the extent that you can address any of the concerns raised by Ranking Member Goff Marcel, I would love to hear that. And what role, I understand what was just said about the delegation, but what role would the electorate have in this going forward, just so that we understand? Thank you.
Any additional debate? Vice Chair Harding, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. So to add one more piece of history to this that maybe helps clarify. So the Lake County Water Authority was created in 1953. Obviously, Lake County has significantly changed over the course of that time. So since that time, the state created water districts, and that is the St. John's Water Management District. So while this may eliminate one layer, it's been significantly replaced by another layer. And so I believe that the resources and the natural resources are definitely looked out after already. And what this does by eliminating this, that local water authority has an ability to tax. And so that's one more layer of concern, that the tax that they could levy. Regarding the voice that the voters would have, again, it goes back to your county commission. If many of us, many of you have served in local government. I did not serve in local government, but I did serve on a committee that was under the county commission authority regarding code enforcement. There's zoning committees, there's several committees like that that already have a really integral, important part of our process, whether it's getting a zoning approval or it's advocating for a fine that the city has put on you for a code violation. And this the duties of this body is now going to fall under that authority, so it's still going to be the voters are still going to have a voice in the sense that they're very actively, every one of us live in counties that has a very engaged county commission because they cover such a wide broad of issues. Most of us, we know who our county commissioners are. If you live in an area that has a special water district or something similar, I'd challenge you to name a couple of those folks. You probably don't know them. And so I think this actually gives more transparency to the role that they play. And with that, Madam Chair, I would close.
Vice Chair Harding, having closed, Rosa, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcel?
No.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Killebrew? Mello?
Yes.
Overdor? Persons Malika, Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
15 yeas, 1 nay.
By your vote, please show House Bill 1105 reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, thank you for your great work today. This concludes our meeting agenda. Our next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, January 25th. Once we adjourn, please remember to exit promptly so the sergeant staff can prepare the room. Seeing no further business before the subcommittee, Representative Mello moves, we rise, and without objection, the meeting is adjourned.